EMAC meeting is now called to order. We will begin with a report from the CEO. Thank you. Next, we have... you do have a report.
Yes, thank you. With the federal continuing resolution, there's about a $38 billion cut in transportation project. Funding, we'll be monitoring what we do with that. Still no state budget. That means still no ability to sell the state bonds, which we'll have a report on later on. Major potential negative impacts on important projects. Next week, the chair and I are going to Sacramento to talk about those issues. The FAA is reviewing the alignment options on Aviation Boulevard for the Crenshaw Line. We have completed 21 public meetings as regards the 710, meetings as regards scoping. Next milestones are the release of two RFPs for environmental and community outreach work. And with that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, CEO? Thank you very much. Next, we'll have a report from our Chief Communications Officer. I would get pretty pictures, too, huh?
Pardon me?
I get pretty pictures, too, huh?
Of course.
Yeah. Wow, look at that.
Just to give you a brief update, we continue to distribute project on or information on all the projects we have in place. One of the things we are doing is we are moving a lot more information out to social media. We've been seeing amazing results in terms of the interest level that's out there in the projects, and we've been able to generate very targeted lists and get and distribute information through both electronic media as well as direct mail. We also are doing the same thing with our construction notices on the different projects that are out there. We have a lot of activity. There's a lot of interest, and we continue to, with our communications out to the communities. And then also we basically are continuing our updates in terms of what's taking place from a regional perspective, keeping the public informed in terms of the overall Measure R program. One of the things that's where we're making a lot of advances right now is in the area of basically setting up a toolkit for information. Next trip is probably the prime thing that's going to be coming out. It's actually active now. We'll be launching it in May. And in terms of its already its presence, it's already one of the most top visited sites on our webpage. One of the things we are noticing on our internet activity is with rising gas prices, we're seeing a lot. We've had a 7% increase in trip plans requested, and we're seeing a lot more activity on our website. We're also trying to take advantage of the rising gas prices by promoting the a lot of our dump the pump materials and things like that, trying to get people interested. And we're doing a lot of that online as well, too. So we've made a pretty major switch from printed materials into electronic communications. Another thing that's increasing is our employer sales revenue. We've had those programs. We have several programs in place for companies out there. And our revenues are now exceeding $15 million. In terms of a TAP update, and there's going to be a more comprehensive report in May, but on the good news front, USC is getting closer to approving a TAP program for their students. We are in the process of rolling out the stored value, and again, that's a gradual rollout. We're also in the process of converting the students over. We should have that pretty much in place by September. We're going to start in the summer, and then we're also working with LASD and continue our fare checks at the gates. We continue to promote our destinations. That's been a very popular and successful campaign. And again, a lot of it we're doing through our online outreach. You can see we're up at 2.8 million page views in a month, which is up over 500,000 over last year. So there's a lot more activity and interest out there with what we're doing. And that concludes my presentation, and happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we got updates on our federal and state affairs.
Mr. Chairman and members, we're going to reverse the order a little bit today to do the state affairs report first because we have two members of our state advocacy team here. We have Chris McHaley and then Bob Naylor, and then Marissa Yeager will do the federal report because Rafi Amparian had the unmitigated gall to take a vacation. So that will start with Chris.
All right. And seeing our two reps here from Sacramento, that means we don't have to go next week.
We have a full day planned for you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Chris McHaley with Apraia and McHaley. I'll go briefly first and then turn over to Mr. Naylor. The legislature is currently on recess this week, returning tomorrow and facing a key deadline in 2 weeks. We've been working diligently on a number of key bills, including measures sponsored by the MTA. One of our bills by Assemblywoman Lowenthal has already passed the State Assembly. On the state budget, we have, in conferring with the California Department of Finance and the budget staff last night, we have some interesting information. In the month of April, we were estimating $6.8 billion in personal income tax receipts. We've already collected $5 billion. In fact, in the last 3 days, the state's collected $3.3 billion. The key question before the governor and the legislature in his May revise will be how much of that will be one-time versus ongoing revenue. Our next action point in the state budget is the release of the May revise by the governor, which is tentatively scheduled for May the 13th. The budget subcommittees will begin meeting again later this month and into May to consider an all-cuts budget, looking at different options if the negotiations for tax extensions do not go well. Currently, a number of majority party members...
Is there any indication that they've gone well at all? I mean, Chris, I mean, I was wondering what you were...
We got awfully close, Director Katz, to doing a budget deal that included a vote in June. Obviously, those fell through. But in speaking with a number of the legislators who were engaged in discussions with the governor, they still continue to be engaged. I think quite a number of legislators are concerned about the potential of an all-cuts budget and what that would actually mean. So obviously a June ballot is off the table at this point. They're looking for something in September at this point.
So the idea would be a straight-up vote on extenders. For 6 months or so, and that way they'd have the election would be whenever they call it, but it would be a vote by the public to extend as opposed to a new tax that has already gone off.
That is one of the multiple options. Some folks in the labor community are pushing, are advocating for a simple straight up tax increase vote, a la the February 09 budget deal, where where the three major taxes were voted upon by legislators themselves.
I was also just going to thank, based on that fiscal report, Supervisor Kanabe for paying his taxes. And
on time?
And as a result, he paid his taxes on time, and we got that huge bump, so...
There you go.
Yeah, they're public documents. They're under poor. Go ahead.
I think the key point at this point is that out of the controller's office with whom we spoke last night, we're over $5 billion higher, 15% increase same time last year. Again, I think the question is what does this mean? How much will be counted toward that gap? As you may recall, the state started with a roughly $26.5 billion shortfall, roughly $11 billion in solutions. Some of those are one-time. Some of those require federal approval. But if you counted at that, we're you know, obviously about 15 short with a good 12 from those extensions. So will this increased revenues in the $2 to $5 billion range help close that gap? Let me turn to Mr. Naylor to talk about what is the impact, particularly on transit, and where do we go from here? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just to expand a little bit on that revenue number, Mr. Chair, members, Bob Naylor, one of your advocates, there was $1.2 billion more than expected in March from personal income tax, and there could be around that much more than expected in April. If you took half that number, $600 million, and projected it out over the remaining 15 months of the fiscal year through June 2012, it would be a $9 billion bump. Again, some of that could be capital gains that are, you know, you don't want to count as ongoing revenue, but the May revise could dramatically change the picture. There's a good news, bad news thing there. Less likely to get legislative votes for the tax extensions, less likely for the public to approve the tax extensions if they go on the ballot. More of a possibility of closing the gap through negotiations. If we don't have a budget, we can't sell a fall bond issue. Treasurer Lockyer tells us that he could do a fall bond issue if there is a budget, even if it's essentially held together by bailing wire. So everything is in the balance in the next couple of months. The vulnerability, I think this board is aware of our vulnerability. If the budget solution could include cancellation of operating funds from the state. Those are diesel tax dollars that are subject to total legislative discretion. They're not protected at all. A large part of our legislative package depends on federal budget action. We've got a Garvey bond bill that depends on federal cash flow from the highway account. We've got an infrastructure bank bill that depends on some federal action on infrastructure bank. We have a tax credit bond bill that depends on federal action in that regard. So we're very vulnerable at this point. We are focusing on the bond issue matter, the fall bond issue, by setting up meetings with the budget subcommittees and hoping we get special hearings in both houses on the threat to the public works project and possible closures of existing projects under construction. That kind of news is what brought the Republican leadership to vote for the budget deal of 2009, when actual projects were threatened with having to be shut down. And so that's what we need to focus the legislature on.
Yes, go ahead.
On that line, Supervisor Antonovich convened a meeting last Friday that had MTA folks there, Metrolink folks there, county people there. And we're looking at the idea of, along those lines, putting together some sort of a press conference, something with a project list. I mean, we need to explain to people that, if the bond isn't let, the San Diego Freeway is going to look exactly like it does today, maybe for two more years, because work will stop, and it will cost us $20 million
demobilize.
Thank you. Demobilize it, and at some point it'll cost more to start again. And the half-built stuff stays half-built. And I think that's what people need to start understanding. And that's why it's been sort of a mystery to me on some of this, both in Sacramento and in D.C., that if there's not money in infrastructure, no one's going to work in this country. And, given the unemployment rate in California, it'll be devastating. So we'll try and get you something like that to help on that.
I think that's absolutely right on.
Very good. Anything else? Thank you.
Marissa?
I guess the only other comment would be is, these additional potential revenues, the money you talked about, Bob. I mean, that's sort of good news, bad news, in the sense that still doesn't fix the problem. I mean, there's a whole lot of other issues hanging out there for those of us involved in other than just transportation. We're all in pure city as transportation, but we've got a lot of local government issues that, just more money will not help, and they still have to deal with some systemic issues, so... But, the sense you get when you talk to the legislators is they are hoping that things get better. Right. Let's say, there were previous oh, never mind. Anyway, go ahead. All right, next.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Since last we met, Congress has moved, as the CEO reported, to approve its fiscal year 2011 budget, and will begin debating the fiscal year 2012 budget upon return from their recess. The President, as we know, introduced his fiscal year 2012 budget last February. Metro is in support, or staff are in support, of the $3.2 billion budgeted funds for the New START program. We're also encouraged that $400 million in the New START account lists two of our rail projects, specifically the West Side Extension and the Regional Connector, along with two other projects, the Lynx in North Carolina and Columbia River Project in Washington. However, Metro staff is concerned with the House Republicans' budget proposal, which cuts the transportation budget from $94 billion to $64 billion, a total of 31% for fiscal year 2012. Over the long term, the Ryan budget would cut federal transportation funding in half. Congress is expected to begin debates upon returning from recess. In addition, on the on the federal surface transportation authorization effort, congressional staff for the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, the Senate Environmental Works Committee, and Senate Banking Committee are all working on drafting the next bill. However, the committees that are noticeably absent in this process are the House Ways and Means and Senate Finance Committee because of the revenue tile that has not been addressed. Metro staff and advocates are monitoring all of these efforts closely, and we will continue to share any developments with you moving forward. Mr. Chairman and Board Members, that completes the report at this time.
Thank you. Are expecting so much from our federal and state partners right now. We appreciate the update.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Question, yes, Mr. Chair. So if this, you know, referring to the, I guess, the House Republicans' budget
correct
policy, you know, they're talking about extending the cap for the debt. Is that what you're referring to? I mean, it's what I'm reading is that they don't want to extend that debt cap.
Correct.
We wouldn't be able to borrow. Assuming that goes through, what sort of is there a priority of chopping block items, and is transportation near that?
Yes, transportation has been noted in our analysis, and all of our advocacy organizations, APTA, et cetera, monitoring this closely, because ultimately it's 31% in the first year, but in the long term it's 50% and the transportation will be cut. And so we are definitely monitoring that closely because that could impact our federal program.
So whose proposal is that to cut 50%? Is that?
It's Chairman Ryan of the Budget Committee.
Okay, so that would, and within that transportation budget, is there, are there subcategories of priorities, sub-prioritization of different, I mean, is it rail, is it highway, is it, you know, new starts? Is
we're still looking at that.
Well, that isn't clear yet either on that.
Okay. Anything else? Not, thank you. There'll be no further reports from staff, is that correct? So then I would, Dr. Clyde Williams signed up for public comment.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast LA. There are some plans that might help in this budget situation. FAST, F-A-S-T, has a RAND Corporation report that states one thing. Hey, how about increase the gas tax? You want money? You want it directly related to vehicular traffic? There's a good one. Why not increase the gas tax? When was the gas tax increased? Seems a long time ago. I can barely even remember it. So there are some plans, and the scoping for 710, SR 710 North gap closure, whatever they want to call it. We also recommended use the RAND Corporation study for LA. There's some good things in it, better efficiency, higher gas tax. So all of these things do one thing, provide you some local money. You need a lot of local money because you don't seem to be able to get it from the state or the Fed. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay. The next item is, well, we don't have anything for item four. Is that correct? We have no new positions on federal legislation, but we do have some on state legislation. Is that correct?
No, we have two support recommendations for federal. One is an actual legislation. The other is
just new, or it's not on here. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, staff would like to introduce a recommend support recommendation for H.R. 1123. This is Congresswoman Laura Richardson, member of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee's proposal to expand the TIFIA program. Existing program is $122 million. She is proposing to increase that program to $375 million. She is also proposing to change specifically the maximum TIFIA share of project financing from the current rate of 33% to 49%. In addition, she is proposing to offer a limited hedge to protect TIFIA project sponsors receiving an upfront contingent credit commitment. Lastly, separate and apart from this, the H.R. 1123 would mandate that a project or group of related projects benefiting from the TIFIA loan program must use clean construction equipment. Specifically, the bill outlines that construction equipment used for TIFIA back projects must meet the Environmental Protection Agency's Tier 4 non-road engine fine particulate emission standard. So staff is recommending a support position on that. Current co-sponsors include Congresswoman Bass, Congresswoman Judy Chu, and Congressman Stark.
Question on the last. Whose bill was the last one on the clean equipment?
Congressman Laura Richardson. It's provisions within H.R. 1123.
So it's in the TIFIA bill also. Is her clean equipment piece, is it preclude states from going beyond what the feds do?
I would need to defer to our staff on that.
Yeah, that would be an important thing to find out, and certainly for our position. You know, we're considering a variety of things here for clean green equipment. When D.C. does it, it tends to be less than we do in California. I just want to make sure there's nothing in there that precludes us from. Okay, so you guys let me know on that. I'd appreciate it.
I'll do. Second point for H.R. 1123, I did want to note this is part of our overall effort on America Fast Forward, so it does complement one of the components that we're proposing nationwide. Second is Breaking Down Barriers Initiative. This is an effort by OCTA. It started last year with congressional leaders. They are looking at how we can expedite in this economic downturn transit projects in the process that we must go through and the constant reviews we must go through at the different levels. So this in concept of staff are in support, it would help expedite our highway as well as transit projects moving forward with the recommendations. Any questions?
You want a motion on the Richardson?
You need a motion on the Richardson?
Move on both. Or on both.
Yeah. Move on both, second on both. Without objection, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is the state.
Mr. Chairman and members, we have a series of bills for you this morning. The first one is SB 214 by Senator Wolk, which would repeal the requirement that the creation of infrastructure financing districts have to go to the voters. Infrastructure financing districts do not increase taxes on properties. They reallocate existing taxes, or I should say the increment of taxes that occur when properties redevelop. And so we actually sponsored a measure similar to this a few years ago that was carried by Assemblymember Feuer, and felt that since this was basically a reallocation of naturally occurring tax revenue, it's not an increase, that it was appropriate to leave the decision to the taxing jurisdictions instead of having to go to the vote. We just thought it was a way to facilitate creating these districts. The second bill is SB 582 by Emerson, which would authorize MPOs, and in our region would authorize counties to adopt a commute benefit ordinance. This is similar to the rule that exists with AQMD, Rule 2202, and could be a tool to implement SB 375, but we have a couple of concerns in that there is already a rule in Southern California through AQMD, and the timing of this. And we have to consider the timing, because we would be placing a requirement on employers to provide benefits to employees, and we have to think about the economy and whether or not that's something we would want to do at this time, and perhaps it's appropriate to work with our business partners in the development of something like this. Next.
Michael, on that one, if I could, Mr. Chair, that sounds somewhat duplicative of the congestion management fee that we're currently going through that whole process on with all the stakeholders, doesn't it?
It's similar, except that the congestion management fee would be created by the cities. I mean, I think mechanically it's different, but effectively it's the same thing.
Another fee over the same area for sort of the same purpose.
Right, yeah. And we already have the AQMD rule, so it's triplicative, if that's a word.
So why is it a support work with author on that?
Wouldn't it be better just to be neutral and work with author?
We could do that. I mean, sure.
I mean, I have the same concern on the next item. Obviously there's issues there about the composition of the authority itself, and, you know, the competitive factor with competition we have now from other ports. And I would like to see us in a work with author and not support as well, go neutral on both D and C.
Don, on that one, I'm prepared to go oppose work with author, but depending on the will of the committee, you know,
I would go oppose. So on C, we'll go oppose work with author, and then B, we will work with author, go neutral.
Understood. Next bill is SB 693 by Senator Dutton, which would allow Caltrans to delegate the authority to do public-private partnerships and design build to cities and counties. This board has supported using both of those mechanisms. We're recommending a support work with author because the actual deferral of the authority is to cities and counties, and in the case of these kinds of projects, we think the County Transportation Authority should be doing these kind of projects. Caltrans has authority over the state highway system, and it seems a little awkward to delegate the authority of a highway to a city when a highway could go through multiple jurisdictions. So we would want to work with the author to clarify that the authority to delegate would come to the County Transportation Commission.
Oh, you would want all three?
Well, yes.
Our situations where it would be better to delegate to a county or a city versus a transportation agency.
That's true. There are, for example, I know of some situations in some of the rural counties.
County highways.
Yes. Where that would be appropriate. So it would be all three.
So it would be all three?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, as long as that's clear that you're trying to clarify, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
It would just be adding transportation authorities.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Transportation authorities, cities, and counties.
Right.
The next bill is SB 907 by Senator Evans. It's actually sponsored by the Treasurer and would create a master plan for infrastructure financing and development. The Treasurer has very much recognize the need for long-term solutions to infrastructure in the state beyond transportation, and has proposed a measure like this before to create a commission that would develop a long-term infrastructure plan for the state, and we would like to support that effort.
That doesn't establish any fees. That just establishes a commission, correct?
That's correct. Just establishes the commission. The commission would make recommendations to the legislature that would have to create the financing mechanisms.
Okay. Anything? Let's see. You got others. All
right. Couple more. AB 427 by Speaker Perez refers to the transit security funding that comes out of Proposition 1B. We've been working with Mr. Speaker on this measure. There have been some issues with how these funds are allocated. It particularly relates to the allocation of funds that are attributable to Metrolink and who receives them, and on what can you expend the funds. As we've been working with Mr. Speaker, we're trying to develop language that as closely as possible reflects the current process that is in place, where money is allocated to the County Transportation Commissions or to the member agencies of Metrolink, and then the question becomes, should the funds be mandated to be spent on Metrolink improvements, or should the agencies have the flexibility to expend those funds on other improvements? Our general feeling is that since these funds are attributable to Metrolink service, it makes sense that they should be then spent on Metrolink service, and that's the issue we're discussing with the
speaker. I'd rather have this as a work with author at this point, because the way it is right now, they're codifying the practice that would allow the other agencies to spend these on non-Metrolink projects. And I'd rather have it silent than codify that at this point, for my suggestion, I think. But what they've managed to do, you know, you'll be surprised by this one, Don. They're trying to solve a problem that no one thought existed, and created a lot of fuss in the meantime. So if we could do just work with author, I think it would be more appropriate at this point.
Okay. Given the fluidity in the discussions, that is more than appropriate.
All right. Support that change, okay.
There.
G. This is an item we actually reference in our bicameral testimony in front of Boxer and Micah.
Yes, this has been a very helpful program. It's helped projects a lot, so this would just make the program permanent. AB 1308 by Assemblyman Miller is actually, this is also an important measure. The transportation funds have been delayed when the state has failed to adopt a budget on time. Basically, Caltrans cannot expend funds beyond the end of the fiscal year without budget authority. And a couple of years ago, we ran into a problem where the budget was delayed so long, Caltrans couldn't allocate funds to projects, and we faced the suspension of progress of the projects. It was a very, very difficult time.
Probably should double support that one.
Yes. This would allow the transportation funds to be continuously appropriated and would prevent that kind of situation from happening again.
Okay. Anything else? Any additions?
That's it.
All right. With the noted changes, I will move the items. Recommendations?
I have a question.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, on the first item, Michael, this is the infrastructure financing districts. And we talked about that at some point when we were going to do it around stations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But they're almost on the way to vaporizing the redevelopment agencies, which similarly use the same type of financing here, where they're taking the tax increment. There's no additional taxes, but it's being diverted towards, in redevelopment agencies, it's redevelopment projects, as opposed to this plan, which would be infrastructure. I mean, what are we doing here? Is this...
Well, yeah, that is a risk. I mean, you're right. I mean, they do work similarly to redevelopment areas, but the legislature has not focused on these, partly because there's only one. There's only one that's in existence right now at around Legoland and a hotel around Legoland. I think a distinction I would make with these is two. You don't have to declare blight to create an infrastructure financing district, but the process also requires that all of the taxing jurisdictions have to consent to the creation of the district. And in doing so, you know, you have a very exhaustive process, but you're also not taking tax revenues away from an agency that doesn't want to give it up. That has the effect also of limiting how useful these tools could be, because right. In the course of doing that.
Okay, Mr. Chair, you know, I think there may be some merit to all these bills, but I'm not playing ball. Unless they're going to pass a budget, unless we're going to, you know, express to them the sincerity that we have in the sale of the Prop 1B bonds that are going to have a devastating effect on this county, on these agencies' projects, just mark me down as I'm not playing with you guys. So even okay. though some of these may be beneficial, extending the Caltrans, I just want to go on the record as saying, you know.
No, I understand that, and I somewhat agree with you. We will put you under that category. I'm not playing ball, but I think on the other hand.
Thank you.
But I think it's important that we do weigh in on some of these issues because
I understand.
The worst case scenario, they said, well, you didn't say a thing or you didn't care, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll put you out there.
It's got to be the sticky pancake.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded. Yeah, well, you just you get all the benefit and then we'll do the dirty work. Okay. I know that a couple of those things that really look good there at the end of the 7-10 as we... Oh, ouch. Ouch. That's that infrastructure improvement we're talking about, man. That's you got the drill on it. Here we go. So anyway, we have a motion and a second. No objections, but one, I'm not playing.
One principal position.
All right. We'll count that as abstention, I guess, probably the easiest way. So without that, without objection, one abstention, we'll move it forward to the full board. All right.
We've got the jury and it's a yes.
Oh. Carrion's not a yes. He's abstention. That means he's not playing.
President will not play.
All right, item numbers. I know, I tell you, you know, it's too, you know, there's not this much humor at the regular board meetings. Item number 6. Oh, I am so sorry. We're going to back and reconsider item 5. I just got these. I did not have those to call. I want to ask Wally Baker and Dr. Clyde Williams, please.
I'll not spend my 60 second opposing because I agree. I appreciate that. Wally Baker with Beat the Canal Steering Committee. Roy Heron is our chairman, could not be here, asked me to come and say a few words. And of course, we're in agreement with the board. I've been working for about a year and a half with business and labor on beating the Panama Canal. We are working together. I've worked with the ports, helped put together a competitive cargo strategy committee that's been meeting for about 4 months. And we have a group of business and labor leaders who are supporting the completion of the projects faster so that we beat the canal and getting our infrastructure projects done before they get theirs done. And really everybody is working together, and we will work with the author and offer to you that we will work with you as well to support the 1B bonds, the financing, etc., because there, in the Beat the Canal, there's about 100,000 jobs, 50,000 of which are union-type jobs. So we feel like this is something we should all be working together on, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you. Thanks. You, Wally. Thanks for coming down. I apologize. But Dr. Williams, same.
Also on four. Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. Only two real issues. Others will be opposed separately. But the public-private partnership, didn't the LOA or LAO comment regarding Caltrans's public-private partnership? Needs a lot of work, I think, because they don't even know what it's doing. Characteristic. The same way with Caltrans's SR-710 gap closure. What happened? They gave us a 100-square-mile project area, but no project within it. Just connect this with this. Oh, it's only going to cost about maybe $10 billion. How much per square mile? 100 versus $10 billion? This seems to be a lot of money, but they don't even know. So why support them? Maybe the EPA, maybe the feds could do a better job on the environmental issues, and perhaps the state governor could do a better job on the public-private partnership. Seems very strange, but consistent. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move it. There's a second, and with the one abstention, so ordered. Okay, item six.
Mr. Chairman and members, item six is our
public comment six.
Is our report on the state bond issue, and nothing is more important in Sacramento than this for us. Without a state budget, there can be no fall bond sale, and we have approximately $600 million that we need out of the fall bond sale that supports billions of dollars in projects and tens of thousands of jobs in our region. The delay in the state budget is causing significant concern that if this goes on, there will not be a state budget in time to do a fall bond sale, in which case we cannot access that $600 million, or almost $600 million. The process right now is, as our representatives mentioned earlier, is focused around the May revise and what comes out of the May revise. We have started an effort to mobilize at the state level and at the regional level. At the state level, we're working with, as Bob Naylor mentioned, the budget committees, but we're also working with our partners in Transportation California, the California Alliance for Jobs, and the other statewide organizations that represent transportation agencies around the state, so that we can have a statewide advocacy effort on this issue. We're also working through Mobility 21 and our partners through that to mobilize at the regional level, and we actually have documentation of all the projects from Ventura County all the way down to San Diego, from the ocean to the border, to document the impacts of without a fall bond sale. So we'll be coordinating our advocacy through Mobility 21 as well, and obviously this is very important. I can't make it any simpler. If there's no budget, there's no fall bond sale, and if it's not healthy enough to support $600 million in projects, we face the possibility of shutting down projects that are in construction and indefinitely delaying improvements that could go into construction as early as this year.
You get to relive the diversion of Prop 42.
Yes.
Huh? That little thing inside that bond issue that was so strongly supported by the public said, oh, by the way, with a 2/3 vote of the legislature, we can take that money and balance our own budget. So this could be a rehash.
And I will say that
it's not good. And so hopefully things will come together.
The eternal optimist.
Yeah, I tell you. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace. Anyway.
That's why we're sending you up there.
Yeah, that's why we don't need to go. All right, so we're just going to receive and file, move this full forward to the board, and thank you very much. All right, item 7.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. We're here this morning to request approval of our small business program goal, which was increased from 15% to 25% for fiscal year 11 and fiscal year 12. Also, we're here to implement provisions of Senate Bill 1341, which was passed into law and effective January 1 of this year. The proposed Small Business Enterprise Program changes incorporate Senate Bill 1341, and it also amends the Public Utilities Code that was effective and signed by the state's governor. I have with me this morning Tasha Smith. Tasha is our Director of Small Business Programs, and she will talk about those changes and talk about the impact the changes will have on our small business program.
Thank you. Good morning. The first recommendation, as Linda mentioned, is to increase the SBE Small Business Enterprise overall goal from 15% to 25% on projects that are 100% locally funded. We're also recommending the expansion of the SBE program to include mandatory small business enterprise goals on competitively bid contracts that are 100% locally fairly funded. Currently, those projects are under the voluntary program. The next recommendation made possible through the Senate bill is to implement a small business preference program. What that is to provide a preference or a 5% reduction in price to small business firms who bid or propose on metro projects. Also a 5% preference granted to bidders and proposers that meet small business enterprise goals that are established on our contracts. We believe that this will be a great incentive for small businesses, but also for bidders and proposers to utilize and increase small business participation on our local funded projects. We are also recommending an increase of the small business eligibility threshold for certification from $250,000 to $1.32 million. This adjustment is to address the economic environment and to increase the number of firms that can qualify and be eligible to be certified as small businesses to increase our bidding pool of small businesses. Lastly, we are looking to implement an increase of the certification period from 3 to 5 years. We believe this change will minimize the burden on small businesses to maintain their certifications and that firms will be available for a longer period to also bid either as primes or subs on our projects. And so these are the five major changes to the program. We're very excited about the changes and believe that it will work to improve our program as we move forward. And we'll take any questions you
may have. I think it's a good deal. I think it's the only thing, I strongly support this and we'll move the item, but I will say that we'll have to establish a consistency. It's very difficult to get to these goals inside the way project labor agreements are currently written, and that will be an issue. And I support this issue moving forward, but we're going to have to deal with it as it relates to project labor agreements down the road. So with that, I'd move it. Okay. Mr. Katz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda, also express the board's
sympathy for the bill member TBAC who passed, I think unexpectedly somewhat,
right,
this last week. So if you would pass that along to the TBAC on behalf of the board, we'd all appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Actually, adjourn his memory to today.
Yes, let we'll be at that service this afternoon, and we certainly will express.
Please let them also know that at the chair's request, we'll adjourn in his memory today also. Going back to the 25 for a sec, where is Caltrans? What are the targets for LAUSD or MWD, or where do we fit in that world?
Currently, MWD has an 18% goal. The state of California has a 25% goal. I believe Expo currently has a 15% goal. And did I mention LAUSD?
Yes.
So we're right within that.
And Mike, you guys, where are you guys at on that?
We have a 25% goal. Run at about 33%.
I'm wondering if 25 is high enough. I mean, I understand the comfort zone for it, and I know you guys have been very aggressive on this. It's never been your department that says, no, let's pull it back. It's more all us. So I'm wondering, do we aim for 30, knowing that, you know, they're at 33 at Caltrans already, so that's doable. Let's try and stretch it. And I know that's what your mission's all about. So I'd like to make that amendment to make it 30 as a target, if that's okay with the chair.
I was glad to second that.
And I think the chair, by the way, the chair is very correct in his comments. I mean, we are all sort of talking about project labor agreements because of the advantage of no strike clauses and other things like that. But we do need to make sure that if we go that path, the small business community has, still has the opportunity on a level playing field to compete and get in there and get those.
That's an issue that we continue to deal with at the county level, where they try to do it on some of our hospital projects, is the sense that the board's been unanimous, and until you make it a level playing field and offer the small business contractors and others to have a playing field and then be a part of this, they weren't moving forward. So anyway.
So we'll work on that part too.
So we will amend it to 30%, and with that we will move that recommendation to the full board.
Small business, at a 25. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for
without
thank
a sword. Thank you for the report, and please pass on our condolences.
Linda.
Okay. Didn't have any public comments, so ordered. Item number 8, which is receive and file status report.
Good morning. I'm Bruce Fair, Executive Officer of Procurement. The report before you is in response to a January director's request to identify policies, procedures, and practices that changed as a result of a previous management audit services report on non-competitive single bid and single proposal procurement actions. The results of our corrective actions are highlighted to you in Appendix A. In the table and the footnotes, 6 of the 8 actions are considered complete. The 7th action, revised procurement summary, was effective with the April board report cycle. The file reviews will be conducted with resources I requested in next year's budget. We've also added information in Appendix B, which highlights improvements the department has taken to improve the efficiency and timeliness of the procurement process. Your charter to me and through the CEO is to maximize competition in this agency's procurement actions. I believe the staff is complying with that expectation, as 60,000 annual procurement actions that we do, 98% are competed. That completes my report. I welcome your questions.
We do have one public comment, Dr. Bye,
Williams. With that, we'll
resume the vote.
Second, without objection, so ordered.
So I'm
in withdrawal. Okay. I thought I did. But now we have public comments. Thank you. All right, first, Antonio Lopez.
Oh, yes, Betty?
I'm waiting for
No. Well, you gonna translate later? Yeah. You said no, right? Okay. Good morning.
No. Okay.
No. Okay. Good morning, Germans. Everyone. How is your city? Your city. You have to know. You have to ISIS. You need to go like any city. And the driver, how is your city? Because your city, your communities, they need a lot of service. And a lot of service, you need you. Because your information, how much is paying your city. If they say Antonio Villaraigosa, $450,000 and millions. Gloria is 475,000. What for you don't put like 600,000 and billion and millions, right? That's a better because you know if you got it for your programs better, probably you can get it more money for your son, your daughter, anything, your teachers, and anything, right? You say one minute and a half, right? So we need total of probably $600,000 for protection of your city. I think so. Thank you.
Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by Ali.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. Executive management, what are we doing with this State Route 710? Going through the entire scoping process with Caltrans and being subjected to gap closure, but then in MTA it's called the North Extension. Why the difference? We don't know. One of the issues, though, was that we got a project, 100 square miles of project. And we were told, hey, the project's going to be in there. You can propose mitigation to any significant impact, but how could we designate what a significant impact was? Because it was no project other than connect the 10 and the 210. This is not good management, and it should be audited. Why? Because there's a lot of different projects that were actually proposed. I proposed 10 different tunneling alignments. Why? Because those can be done. They're feasible. Even the geotechnical study said it was feasible. So there seems to be a management gap. Thank you.
Thank you. Ali?
Good morning, Honorable Directors, Art. It's a pleasure to see you again, as always, and I want to thank you and thank Metro for the good work that you guys have been doing, and I also want to thank Metro for the new policy that was just presented a few minutes ago regarding the SBE. The point that I'd like to make is for Director Katz, first of all, thank you for attempting to increase the rate from 25% to 30%. But I think the main issue that need to be addressed is not setting up goals, whether it's 25, 30%, or even 50%. The issue is really how to enforce those rates and enforce it and not call it a goal. Because once you call it a goal, it becomes an aspirational issue. You can reach it. You don't have to reach it. There's absolutely nothing in the books, whether the federal or the local one, that will dictate that you do have to reach a 25. But what I do ask you again is please look into it in terms of putting enforcement. This is more important. I myself, as a TBAG member and a small business advocate, I will tell you, if you can enforce 15% across the board, that's a lot more better than giving us a 50% goal, aspirational goal. And I do want to mention one other thing real quick. There has been some issues developed just recently on one of the large design build jobs by Metro, where I can clearly tell you by the end of the job, unfortunately, we will not even reach the DBE goal that is set in that contract. The reason why I'm saying this, because there has been three incidents that I personally have experienced in addition to two other DBE firms that I have experienced, where we submit the proposal, we submit the resumes to the prime contractor, and the prime contractor decided to hire them directly. You will be receiving a letter from TVAG shortly, within a week to 2 weeks, to detail exactly the circumstances and other issues. But
I think
it
would be better if you could get that letter to us prior to our board meeting next week, please.
I will try my best. Okay. The point I'm trying to make, this is why I'm saying...
I understand the point. I'm just saying, you just get it in our hands so we can deal with it maybe as we address this item at next week's board meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
One thing I wanted to... mentioned that Art had, the CEO had instituted last year that I thought was very appropriate and very innovative, but it had to do with the MBE, WB, disadvantaged business, small business goals. I think that, you know, the CEO added to the evaluations of the folks who Linda reports to, who they report to up the chain, that achieving that goal was now part of their evaluation, the manager's criteria. So not just the people in that unit, but all the way up the food chain in terms of decision-making here, so that everybody knows that it's a priority to try and get more small businesses, women, minority businesses. So I thought that, you know, I'd not heard of that being done at other agencies and thought it was a significant move. So.
Okay, great. It's a great idea because, I mean, it is true. I mean, once it becomes an enforcement kind of an issue, it's a whole lot different than just an inspirational kind of an opportunity. So. Okay, with no further public comment, this meeting's adjourned. We'll reconvene at 10:30 for the construction committee. Thank you.